if 80% of your posts work towards earning the respect and trust of people, then you've earned the right to promote 20% of the time. A lot of people don't post at all, and when they post, it's to promote, and they haven't earned the respect or the trust of people, and then they wonder, well, it's not working.
Hey, and welcome to the Tarun Stevenson Leadership Channel, where we're helping you lead, communicate, and grow to your full potential. I'm your host, Tarun Stevenson. Whatever portal you are tuning in on, whether it's YouTube, Facebook, your favorite podcast, or Instagram, make sure you subscribe and follow so you don't miss any of our episodes. Let's get into it. We have Karina Esser from Social Media Worldwide with us. Welcome, Karina.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. And Karina is the founder of Social Media Worldwide, where they specialize in providing social media solutions for business owners. She's also an Amazon best-selling author of two books, Money on Demand and Reach. Now, Reach is the secrets to convert your social media audience into your network marketing download. So clearly, social media is something of a passion for you. Would I be right, Karina?
Yes, that's right. I started my social media business 9 years ago now.
Wow.
So in a few months, it's going to be 9 years. And I started it completely by chance. I was unemployed at the time. I had lost my job for the fifth time. I used to work in television production. And I lost my job right in the middle of the financial crisis. So it was really tricky for me to find another job in that industry, or in any industry, really. It was really, really tricky. And so my brother invited me to attend one seminar on digital marketing in the UK. So I went there and I discovered different strategies to start an internet business. And the one that appealed to me the most at the time was Twitter marketing.
Okay.
And it appealed to me because it was affiliate marketing on Twitter. And affiliate marketing is simply the process of selling other people's products for a commission, which was really handy because Twitter was free to join and I didn't have a product. I could just promote other people's products and get a commission. So I started doing that, following that strategy out of the many, many other strategies they were talking about at that event. And I did really well. Within 3 weeks, I was making about $700 a week in just commissions. It was pure profit for me. And I wasn't using any paid advertising. It was purely organically on Twitter. Things have changed, of course, now. But at the time, this strategy was working really well. And I was asked then, it started opening doors. I was asked to speak at events. And I had a lot of people asking me to help them with their Twitter marketing. And some people were asking me if I could do it for them. And so one thing led to another. I started a done-for-you Twitter marketing service. And then again, one thing led to another. People were asking me, do you also do this for Facebook? Do you also do this for, you know, all these other channels now? And that's how I started Social Media Worldwide. I hired my sister to help me out part-time. She quickly became full-time, and then she was at capacity. I was so busy. She was so busy. We didn't even have time to hire and train people. That's how crazy it was. So she started hiring assistants for her, assistants for me. And then next thing you know, we had a company.
That's amazing. And so what do you do? Like, if we were to look at your organization now, how many businesses are you servicing for social media now?
Just below 100.
Okay.
And they're mainly local businesses and solopreneurs. So we have a lot of people who are solopreneurs. So they're authors and speakers, and they need help building their audience, obviously.
Sure.
So we have a lot of people like that. So speakers, promoters, authors, world-renowned people in their industry. So I also help Harry Dent, who's an economist, with his social media marketing. And we also help a lot of brick and mortar businesses, so local businesses, so lots of restaurants and cafes.
Great. And so do you think that there's a difference in the approach of social media marketing for, say, bricks and mortar business versus people who are more online speakers, coaches, or are the principles the same no matter what business you're engaged in?
Yeah, that's a good question. The principles are the same, really. You're trying to build an audience, credibility, authority, engagement. So really you're trying to build the same thing. Is the approach that is different.
Right.
So with a local business, we'll focus a lot on social proof because that's what gets other people to go to a business is by seeing other people go to that business, to that business and other people saying great things about that business. Whereas we don't focus so much on social proof for solopreneurs, for example.
Okay.
We work more towards building and establishing their credibility.
Okay. So building them as a brand.
That's right.
Okay. So just for people who may not be familiar with all of these terms, a solopreneur is somebody who is basically running a business by themselves. They don't yet have a team that they're working with. Is that correct?
That's right.
Yeah. And so, and social proof, are we talking about online reviews and people talking about your product in a way that's favorable and helps your business?
Yeah, social proof comes in different ways. It could be reviews, absolutely. It could be testimonials. It could just be pictures of people at your premises showing a big crowd. So if you're marketing a cafe and you're showing a really busy cafe, that's social proof as well.
Right.
And social proof is so key because people tend to follow other people's actions. So if someone, if plenty of people are going to a cafe, it doesn't really matter how quality the service is or what they deliver is. What matters is that there's a lot of people.
Yeah.
So that's why social proof works so well, because people just by nature tend to follow other people's actions.
Of course. So tell me, what are some of the mistakes that you see businesses make? And I want to sort of broaden this question a little bit, because a number of people that tune in here are leaders of churches. And I'm wondering if social media, the principles apply to churches in the same way that they would apply to businesses. And what are some of the mistakes you would see a business making when they're handling their social media?
There are a lot of mistakes. The first one would be being inconsistent. So what I see is a lot of people post things on social media just when they have time. So there's no strategy behind it. It's inconsistent.
Yeah.
And the key with social media, it's like blogging. If you don't do it consistently, you might as well not do it because it doesn't work.
Okay.
So that's one thing. Doing it inconsistently. The second mistake is not having a strategic plan.
Right.
A lot of people do things just not only sporadically, but with no thought behind it. So everything that they put on social media doesn't contribute to achieving a specific goal. So I always tell people, put together a strategic plan, have a single goal you really want to achieve, and then reverse engineer how you're going to achieve it. And that's your strategic plan. It's just breaking down the steps you're going to take on a daily basis in order to achieve that goal. So that's the second mistake. The third mistake, and I could go on and on. The third mistake is that the posts are one-dimensional. It's all about, that's what we're doing. Click here. This is what we're doing. Click here. So it's always promoting themselves instead of really adding value to people's lives, entertaining people, informing people, inspiring people. So your post shouldn't be one-dimensional, because when you're one-dimensional, you become predictable. And when you're predictable, you're boring. And that's going to kill your social media marketing when you're boring, obviously. Because it's so tricky now, and you probably experienced that as well, to stand out from all the noise.
Yeah, absolutely.
So much noise out there. So if you keep on talking about what you're doing and asking people to, you know, buy this or go there or do this for me, instead of just delivering good stuff to them and improving their lives or helping them in some way through your post, then it's really hard to stand out.
Great. So the three keys that you've said is consistency. So making sure that you're doing it on a regular basis. Is there a recommended regularity that we should use? Is it different for each social media platform? What do you suggest for somebody who's just starting out with getting social media up and running?
There's no rule really, and you'll find a lot of people saying, oh, always post this amount of times at that specific time, but there's no rule because every account, every social media account is different.
Yeah.
So I would have followed that rule, but my rule is, well, start posting again when the social network has stopped showing your posts and engagement has stopped. So as soon as engagement has stopped, that means that the social network has stopped showing your post. So okay, that's your cue for posting again.
Right. So, and Facebook shows you that in the insights, you can see engagement and you can see how much. Are the other social media platforms as easy to access that information, or is it a little bit harder to monitor?
No, it's very easy. And there are tools as well. There are third-party tools that you can use as well. With Facebook, you've got obviously Facebook Insights, Twitter Analytics, Instagram Analytics. So they all do the same job. And you can actually see, without even accessing analytics, you can go to your Facebook page or Twitter account, look at your post, and has engagement changed at all? Has engagement increased? If it's stopped, okay, it's flatlined, then that means that they've stopped showing your tweet or your post.
Gotcha.
So you don't even need to access analytics.
Mm. Okay, great. All right, good tips there. Now, the second one was, so you had consistency and you also had, no, one-dimensional was the third one. What was the second one you said?
About not having a strategic plan.
There you go, the plan. Okay, so I know, so you guys do my social media now, and I think that's probably the first thing that struck me. I've been on the internet for a long time. I understand a lot of the general concepts around social media marketing, but one of the things that you guys really helped me with was having a really clear approach to the way that I tackle social media. And, you know, this many blog posts, this many news articles, this many quotes, this many photographs, this many videos. And so how would somebody who's maybe trying to do a strategic plan for themselves, how would they break down the type of content and maybe the percentages of content, because you said you don't want to be promoting all the time. Is there a rule of thumb of how often you should promote versus how much a value add you should be bringing to the table?
I usually follow the 80-20 rule. That's what I've always followed. It always worked for me and for our clients. So if 80% of your posts build value, earn the respect of people, because really your job is to earn the respect of people and the trust, because without respect and trust, sales never happen.
Yeah.
So if 80% of your posts work towards earning the respect and trust of people, then you've earned the right to promote 20% of the time. A lot of people don't post at all, and when they post, it's to promote, and they haven't earned the respect or the trust of people, and then they wonder, well, it's not working. And I think that, oh, social media doesn't work. It does once you've earned the trust and respect of people. Like anything, every time you want something from someone, even with children, you have to earn a trust and respect. So that's what people don't have the patience to do. Right. It's true. It's time consuming.
Yeah.
It's time consuming. And because you don't experience instant return on investment, because you obviously can't, it's a long-term plan, then people give up.
Yeah.
People give up because it's not instant. And when, you know, you're, especially if you're a one-man band and if you're running your business on your own, like I used to, like I used to years ago, you have to focus on income-producing tasks first, obviously, if you want to survive. And so because social media is not directly producing income, then it's at the bottom of the list,
you see.
So that's what happens.
Yeah, that's good advice. And I think that really leads into your third point about not being one-dimensional. If all you ever do is promote your product, or maybe promote your, you know, if you're a church, always just saying, come to our next church service or come to our prayer meeting, and you never add value to the people that you're engaging with, then it becomes a little bit, one analogy I've heard is it's a little bit like going on a first date. If you're asking the person to marry you on the first date, they're probably going to walk out on you. You've got to build that relationship first. You've got to get to know them. You've got to know what they like. A great example for myself was another business that I run is called Karma Classrooms, where I do training for teachers. And I was posting consistently on social media for probably about 12 months, but not seeing any kind of direct correlation to the sales of my workshops. But just towards the end of the last quarter, the city that I've done the most promotion in is Brisbane. And
all of a sudden, for no apparent reason, the sales in Brisbane started to go off the charts. And I was doubling my numbers in my workshops, and I couldn't put it down to any advertising because I was doing the same advertising that I did every time. The only thing I could put it down to was that the engagement on social media has been in Brisbane longer than any other state. And so all of a sudden there was this traction that I was starting to see that turned into actual sales and actual tangible assets after that long period of like probably 2-3 years in Brisbane I've been promoting social media. So is that what you're talking about here?
Absolutely, absolutely. And people give up just before the spike happens. Yeah. And it happens with blogging as well. And I have a blog now, and I've had a blog since 2015. So it's 5 years of me blogging consistently, weekly. And it's a hard job. It's a hard job. Not only do you have to write the thing, then you have to publish it and optimize and market it. So it's a time-consuming job. It's not hard, but it's time-consuming.
Yeah.
And I've been doing this for 5 years, and people give up their blog within a year because obviously you don't produce income straight away. But now I'm producing income from my blog. I just received a $2,500 check from YouTube because I turn my blogs into YouTube videos.
Okay.
So I just received a check from YouTube, $2,500. Just for the month, because people advertise on my videos. I've also, I get paid weekly from other people wanting me to endorse their products and services and their websites on my blog. So it took me 5 years to reach that point, but now it's just passive income, you see?
Yeah.
So you have to do a lot of things for free first.
Yeah.
And then you start experiencing this sort of result. And the same with you, your exact example, what you said, you weren't making anything at first, but you were consistent. You kept at it, and that's really the key. You kept at it, and now you're just starting to get all the rewards for it. Whereas other people would have given up, you know, way before they would have reached that point.
Sure.
Talk
to me more about blogging, because blogging is this. I have this love hate relationship with blogging. I love to write, but it's so time consuming. I find it hard to be consistent. And I've had spates where I'll blog consistently for 3 months, then I'll give up, then I'll turn to videos because videos are way easier. I can talk in front of a camera any day of the week. So is there a preferred style? Does blogging have to be written, or can you use video as a substitute and get the same kinds of results?
Well, you can definitely use video, like vlogging now. You can definitely use video, and you can get someone to turn your video into a blog.
Okay, good.
You can do that as well. Obviously, it's good to have also text blogs because you get to experience SEO, search engine optimization. So there are a lot of benefits to having a blog. But having a vlog is the beginning of a blog because you can easily turn your blogs into your video blogs into written blogs. You get someone maybe to transcribe it, to clean it up a little bit. What I do myself is I'm not very good on video off the cuff. So if I'm not scripted, then I have to do 100 takes to get one sentence right. So this is just one of the things. So what I do is I write my blog. Because writing comes naturally to me, so I'm really lucky in that way. And then I turn that blog into a video thanks to a teleprompter. So I basically read out my blog with a teleprompter.
Yeah.
So I hit two birds with one stone. I'm building my YouTube channel. I'm building my blog from the same piece of content. So I get paid by brands and businesses to add backlinks into my blogs for them because they pay bloggers to add links to blog posts. I get paid from my blog, but I also get paid from YouTube for my video blogs because then they place ads on my videos. So I get two income streams.
So you're using the same content and you're repurposing it for different platforms. And
that's right.
I do this with this video as well. I interview on video and then I turn the audio into a podcast. And you know, I've done the transcribing from video to text as well. And it's okay to use the same piece of content. You've just got to tailor it for the platform that you're using it on. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you can use word for word the same piece of content. So my blog is word for word what I say on YouTube. Word for word if you look at it. So yes, you can do that and create two income streams and have two sources of traffic from that same piece of content. So it's really, really worth it. And there are a lot of people who will, you know, write for you if you have to know what you're not good at and then basically outsource to someone what you're not good at. There's no point trying to do something that you really dislike. You'll do a bad job anyway if you do something you don't like. I'm lucky. I like writing. So in a way, that's an advantage. But if you don't like that, there's so many people who are so good at writing blogs, and you can hire them for not too much. You can ask someone to write a blog post a week, and they charge $50 per blog post.
Right.
And that's $50, and that you're going to get back 10 times back later on.
Great.
So there are ways to overcome things like that.
And that's good to know, because not everybody can write naturally or maybe sit in front of a video easily. And so there's some good strategies of how you can get yourself out there. One of the things that I found when I was just getting into this is I tried to do everything. I tried to do every social media platform, and I found it almost impossible to keep up with. And what helped me was I just shut down a whole bunch of my social media platforms and focused on the one that I felt most comfortable with. At the time, it was Facebook. Now I do Instagram and Facebook. I don't even do Twitter very often. I mean, I'm there, but I don't do much with it. And now I'm sort of moving into YouTube. And so I've kind of progressively added as I feel more confident. Would you say that that's an appropriate strategy for people who are just getting started?
Yes, and that's what I recommend people. So I always tell people there's no point. It's a waste of time to just go on every social platform, because I can guarantee you will do a less than average job because it's just too time consuming. Yeah. And you can't really, when you think about it, repurpose the same post and publish it on all social media platforms for many reasons. First of all, Instagram is just visual. So if you've written a post on Facebook, there's still work to do to convert it into an Instagram post. Then Twitter has a 240 character limit, so you still need to work towards making that fit. So you can really repurpose posts. A lot of people come to me and say, oh, you know, I can write one Facebook post and use software that will just publish it across all social networks, but they're not optimized.
And that's the key, isn't it? Just optimize it. You don't have to recreate the information, but just optimize it so it fits for that channel and works for the audience that's on that channel.
That's right. Like, I'm not on every social channel, although we have a social media agency. So I'm not on Instagram because Instagram doesn't serve the purpose I'm trying to achieve with my social media marketing strategies. But Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube do. Yes. So I focus on these three rather than being on TikTok and on Instagram and all the other ones. So you have to really focus on what's going to bring you the results you're after.
Gotcha.
That's what you need to do. And also, YouTube will bring results to anyone, really, because videos work. But if you struggle putting videos together, producing videos, then don't choose YouTube.
Yeah.
So you also
and the standard on YouTube has gotten so high now. You've got people out there that are working at such a high quality level that you've got to kind of be able to produce something that looks half decent to get some traction on YouTube, don't you?
Pretty much. You don't want to come across as unprofessional, as an amateur, especially when you're competing with people who are professionals.
Yeah.
Sometimes being on a platform, if it's done badly, can actually cost you
instead
of benefiting you. Good. So you might as well have one platform and do a great job than be on five or six and do a below average job, because it can really reflect badly on you. And I've seen companies that can't manage all the platforms they're on, and it just makes them look as unprofessional. Sometimes it just looks like the business has shut down. They haven't updated their Instagram account for years, and you automatically assume they're not in business anymore. So it can actually backfire.
That's good advice too. You've got to be consistent on all the platforms you're doing. And I think you've got to also know where your audience is. I know with teachers and my Karma Classrooms profile, everyone says, oh, you should be on LinkedIn. Well, teachers don't use LinkedIn. Most teachers use Facebook. School principals use LinkedIn. That's a different audience. And so I've just had to pick the social media platforms that my audience uses rather than necessarily where I am or where I want to be. And so, that's good. Great advice there. Now, just before we wrap it up, I just wanted to touch very quickly on one other avenue that leaders and business owners can use to help to, I guess, promote the level of their authority in their marketplace? Because that's what we're really talking about, is just promoting your credibility to your audience. And one of the other services that you provide is book editing, and I'm writing a book with you guys right now. And can you talk to us about why writing a book is important for somebody perhaps who's a solopreneur, maybe a speaker or a coach, and what that would do for their business long term?
Well, having a book and being a published author can open so many doors, so many doors. It's instant credibility. You're introduced as an author or a best-selling author. All of a sudden, people are all ears, because it really positions you as the go-to person, as an expert in your industry. So many doors open. You start getting speaking engagements. Getting in the media is so much easier. I remember when I first published my book, my husband and I wrote it together, the book Money on Demand. It became an Amazon bestseller. Next thing you know, the next day, I was being interviewed on television about something. Yeah. So it just opens doors. You can be featured in the media easily, and that opens other doors. You can get speaking engagements as well, let alone the revenue generated from the book sales. Sure. And also within the book, obviously, you would promote your products or services. Yeah. So let alone that revenue, the positioning also. It leads to so many other things. And our book turned into multiple blog posts. So the chapters became blog posts, and then the blog posts became YouTube videos. So we, again, repurposed the content of the book.
There you go. Great strategy.
So many ways. And we built a big list as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're big on email marketing.
Yes.
Most of our revenue comes from email marketing. So we built a big mailing list, because within the book we were promoting obviously our funnel, where we could capture people's name and email address. And so that built our list. And so we're still monetizing that list 5 years later.
Yeah.
So it's made a very, very big difference. Extreme. And that's why I wrote a second book. And I'll keep on writing books.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much for that advice. And I hope that for everybody that's watching, perhaps if you've never really taken online marketing seriously in this current climate of shutdowns, and many bricks and mortar businesses and churches are having to pivot in their strategies of how they do things. So, you know, online marketing is alive and well. And you probably heard in our last episode with Pete Mack, he talked about how online marketing for a long time has been an outlier and people didn't take it seriously. But now you've got people like Karina who are, you know, talking to us about what she's been doing for 9 years and seeing great success with it. And this is stuff that can work for you as well. So I want to encourage you to just take it seriously. Karina, if people want to find out more about what you do and perhaps get you to help them with what they do, where can they find you?
Well, I'd recommend for people to visit, obviously, my blog. They'll learn a lot of information about how to really optimize their social media marketing. So socialmediaworldwide.com/blog, and all my articles are there. Or if they prefer to consume my content on video, there's my YouTube channel. So youtube.com/socialmediaworldwide.
Great. And we're going to put the links in the description below. I really encourage you to start taking a step towards using online marketing as a way of getting yourself out there, or your organization, or your business. Thank you, Karina, so much for your time today. It's been great talking to you, and I look forward to having another chat soon.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you got a ton of value out of that. Don't forget to like, comment, and share with somebody who you think will benefit. And make sure you check the description for the free resources that I want to send your way to help you in your growth journey. Until next time, I'm Tarun Stevenson, helping you lead, communicate, and grow to your full potential.